go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show. Any news on the fire up in Flagstaff? Anything, or is it still out of control, Tom?
It's still out of control, and the last I heard, it's grown in size to over 20,500 acres.
Oh, no. Not good. And containment is pretty much
zero.
Uh-oh. All righty, then. It is Thursday. It's April 21st, 2022, in our 12th year here on the radio. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line for our regular conversations with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, superintendent of Tucson Unified School District, the second largest school district in the state of Arizona, largest in Arizona. Is it still, are we still number two, Dr. Trujillo? How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, Bill, and thank you. It's always great to be back on the program. And yes, we are number two after Mesa Schools. For a time, we were number three, but the pandemic sort of redrew the map as formerly number two Chandler Unified took some big enrollment hits that unfortunately we didn't here in TUSD. So we kind of vaulted back into the number two position.
I want to take a deep dive into where we are 2 years plus into the pandemic. When all of this hit, it created chaos, not only for Tucson Unified, but really for public education in the United States. Where are we at this point at Tucson Unified? What is the overview of where we are right now with COVID-19?
Well, right now, of course, the Pima County and the city of Tucson, we're in a great spot. You know, we are in an area of low transmission. We're a highly vaccinated county, highly vaccinated city, highly vaccinated school district, and we're at transmission rates that are the lowest that they've ever been since the outbreak began in March of 2020. We keep our fingers crossed that that'll continue. But what we've seen, Bill, is Tucson Unified School District is very much coming out of the fog of the pandemic. We're starting to pick up the pieces and enter into a recovery period, and we see three very significant challenges that we face, as you just spoke about, that aren't just localized here in TUSD, but that face school districts around the nation. First and foremost is interrupted learning. The last 18 months where students have been relegated to remote learning or the sort of hybrid schedules where they come in 2 days a week and they're home 3 days, or they're back and then they have to go back into remote because of high transmission rates, have been very disruptive to student learning, especially to significant portions of TUSD's student body that were already coming to us off grade level with reading and math. Secondly, second big challenge, which is very formidable, is the unprecedented labor shortage that has been brought on by this pandemic, where we're struggling to find applicants in all areas, not just with teachers, but when you look at custodians and you look at electricians and plumbers and bus drivers and all of these highly skilled blue-collar positions and even social workers and counselors in the certified ranks, they're all part of the important infrastructure that we try to surround the classroom teacher with so that they can be successful. And lastly, a third formidable challenge that, of course, is not just localized here to TUSD, but everywhere is we're tasked with rebuilding ruptured and broken relationships with parents and community members that have lost confidence in some of the decisions that the district has made around remote learning, masks, testing, management of the COVID-19 pandemic, transportation. And whether or not parents have agreed with our decisions, they're still our customer. We have a responsibility to reach out to them and re-engage them and reestablish those relationships so we can move forward. So those are three very formidable challenges that as we start to shake off the dust of COVID-19 and start to move into more normalized conditions, we've got to deal with.
Some students are years behind in math and reading, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And the interrupted learning to students that already came to us off grade level with reading, writing, and math, the last 18 months not only saw them holding steady at this current skill level that they left us with in March 2020, but actually moving behind simply for problems with remote learning, not having access to a device, not having internet access, or simply not feeling engaged and not feeling included in the online format and just checking out and missing a bunch of classes. So the learning loss and the interrupted learning, I think, of when you look at our three challenges, is probably the most formidable.
And, you know, I kind of think of I think now that we're hopefully through the worst of this pandemic, I think one word sort of strikes me, and what do you think? And that word is rebuilding.
I think rebuilding. It also presents opportunities for us that we've never had that put us in a great position to rebuild structures and opportunities that students didn't previously have, that teachers didn't previously have, and rebuilding structures and opportunities that weren't necessarily working for all of our students before the pandemic. So the pandemic's also brought opportunities, the two big ones. Number one, Tucson Unified is now a one-to-one district. Every single student in this district has an iPad or a laptop. Couldn't say that before the pandemic. So that creates a lot of opportunities for our students to have internet access now at home that we're able to pay for. And then, of course, the second big opportunity we have is this new electronic platform called Tucson Unified Virtual Academy that is shown to be working for 2,000 of our students that are very comfortable working from home, doing their classes at home. It's taught us a new way to educate kids. So while we do see some formidable challenges, Bill, there are also some great opportunities to begin again.
What was the enrollment before the pandemic, and where are you right now, Dr. Trujillo, at Tucson Unified?
Well, right now we're just shy of 40,000 students. We were on a little bit of a rebound. 1920 school year, 40th day, we had retained 1,000 more students in the 40th day of the 1920 school year than we did in 1819. And then the pandemic came along, and it led to a loss of around 2,000 kids for us. So we are doing better than we were a year ago, 2021. We have grown the district by 6,570 students. When you compare us 21-22 versus 2021, which is the two pandemic years, but we do not compare well to the last pre-pandemic year, which would have been 1920, the fall. When you look at the fall of 1920, and then you look at the fall of 21-22, yeah, it's about 2,000 students. So bright spot, we're 60-70 students more than we were a year ago. Not so bright spot, we're just shy of 2,000 students when you look at 2 years ago before the pandemic. So there's definitely a lot of work to do.
Will the academic calendar pretty much play out as normal for this year then?
The academic calendar will play out as normal. Thankfully, we didn't have to add days because of closed schools. We'll be able to make sure that all of our students end on time, that all of our seniors graduate at their scheduled graduation dates in mid-May, and that our teachers will be able to end their contract year on time.
The ending of the contract year on time, that means the teachers now start thinking about the next school year. And this is where that gets back to one of your three big ones, the labor shortage. How are we doing at Tucson Unified with retaining teachers at this point?
Well, we bet the house, Bill, on we bet the house on retention stipends. The CARES Act money that the district received through what's called ESSER, the ESSER fund, which is the the elementary secondary schools emergency relief fund. It's part of the CARES Act that was actually bipartisan. The first version of the CARES Act was passed by the Trump administration and supported by the Trump administration, and the second part of the CARES Act was supported by the Biden administration. So TUSD saw funds coming from both administrations, and a parameter of those funds was that you can spend those funds to retain critical positions, and there's no position more critical than the classroom teacher. So we've put together, through those funds, stipends available to teachers. Every 18 weeks that the teachers return to us, they're going to see $2,500 straight up, just for coming in and returning to the district. That means $7,500 for each teacher over the course of the next three semesters. So we're betting the house on big dollars, retaining our teachers on the classified and blue-collar end of it to start dealing with shortages in key areas like electricians, HVAC, air conditioning, heating and cooling specialists, plumbers, custodians, groundskeepers, bus drivers. We're going to be bringing forward at the next governing board meeting a package that will see an immediate jump to their hourly salaries that will make us more competitive with the private sector, which is where we're starting to lose these employees. As the private sector increases rates for electricians and plumbers and HVAC specialists, we've got to keep up, or else we're not going to have them in the district.
Dr. Gabriel Trujillo with us on the Buckmaster Show. He is the superintendent at Tucson Unified School District. It is lunchtime right now, Dr. Trujillo, and you know what I'm going to be talking about. What are you in the mood for from Mona's Danish Bakery?
Well, I'll always take that blueberry Kringle with coffee at any time, any day of the week.
You're all ready for it, even during the lunch hour. And many people do want breakfast at lunch at Mona's. You can do lunch if you want. They've got a great menu for lunch. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open daily at 6:30 Tuesday through Sunday. So I said daily. They do take Monday off now, well-deserved day off after usually what turns out to be a very big weekend for Steve and the team up there. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. I think you'll like the bakery website because if you have any questions about what's on the menu, there'll be plenty of pictures there to tempt you of some of their luscious bakery goods. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. More with Dr. Trujillo right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. We have a wonderful sponsor. All of our sponsors are wonderful, but Green Things in Zocalo Village. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Stop by Green Things, 3384 East River Road. It's very convenient, right over there by the Rito River. I'm sure many of you have passed it, and it's just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green Things on 13 acres, perfect time of year to do your go by Green Things and ask the well-informed sales associates what would do well spring into the early summer season, right up until the summer rains. They'll send you and point you in the right direction, probably take you directly to the particular plants you will need. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Green Things in their 51st year, open daily. Let's continue now with our conversation with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo is the superintendent at Tucson Unified School District. Do you think this new rule that's being discussed up at the legislature, Dr. Trujillo, it kind of expands on a 2017 law that would allow people with experience in the private sector to get a subject matter certificate that would allow them to teach grades 6 through 12. This would expand that to K through 5. Would this, or is it help? Do you know if since 2017, is this helping to put a dent into our teacher shortage?
I haven't seen this, you know, and I've been in the district since 2017.
Yeah.
And I have not seen this avenue or this approach be particularly effective here in TUSD. I think we have seen more success with the alternative pathways to teacher certification, where people come to us from the private sector, get an emergency certification from the Arizona Department of Education, and then come to work for us immediately. And then through financial assistance and grants that we're able to put to work, take their educational pedagogy classes through Pima Community College. I think we've seen more success with that than we have with any other avenue. I will say that I do have concerns about expanding this opportunity for K-5. When you are in the secondary world, 6th grade through 12th grade, the bulk of the teacher effort is on content delivery. It's on very, very skill and topic and concept-centric areas, such as the scientific method or teaching the American Revolution or teaching fractions or teaching, you know, polynomials. When you're in the K-5 world, there's a whole different pedagogical mindset that focuses on the whole child, on child development, that really is comprehensive in scope, and you need that teacher education, almost early childhood educational focus. which is really unique to teacher education programs, particularly teacher education programs that are focused on elementary ed or preschool ed. And I would not be very, very supportive of bringing somebody in from the private sector and throwing them in a kindergarten classroom. I think somebody from the private sector that has a math background, probably I'm a little bit more flexible if you want to try them out as a ninth grade algebra teacher. And even then, they're going to need a lot of help. But because it's more skill specific there in that setting with 14 and 15 year olds, I would be more flexible in that environment than I would putting that same individual with a bunch of kindergartners. I think that's bordering on negligence, to be honest.
Well, I'll tell you something. If I was a young teacher and would be graduating soon and looking for places to go, this wouldn't help. The headline in Tuesday's Arizona Daily Star, Senate makes it easier to sue teachers. Oh, boy, that really opens up a lot of problems, I would think. But what's your take?
I think it's disappointing, and I think it's heartbreaking that these attacks on teachers and on public education continue. And it befuddles me, Bill. It really does, because there really is only one institution in all of American life that love it, hate it, disagree with it, with all of its challenges, all of its warts, is the only institution that transforms the lives of children and determines the quality of the kind of lives they're going to lead as adults. And that's the traditional public school system. And at the heart of that, at the very, very heart of that institution is the classroom teacher. And instead of respecting teachers, supporting teachers, trusting teachers, these attacks continue. And it's very disappointing because it doesn't help our recruitment efforts. As you said, that doesn't make us an attractive option as a profession when the front page of the, the Arizona Republic or the Daily Star says, legislature makes it easier to sue teachers.
And another headline, another bill forces teachers to disclose secrets. Another headline, bill aimed at school boards. So it's not just teachers, but it's those that may be thinking about serving on school boards. And this is, you know, they serve without financial compensation. I would think this is not going to help recruitment of candidates.
No, it's absolutely not. And it's just very disappointing. And what I think is you have a legislature that is dangerously combining their political ideology about masks and about the pandemic and about critical race theory and sex education. They're mixing that ideology with their core responsibility per the Arizona Constitution, per our state constitution, to support and make financial decisions about public schools and teacher requirements. And they're mixing the two. And they're taking out their frustrations on disagreements they have with school boards about decisions made during the pandemic or about decisions made around family life curriculum. And it's almost like they're taking vengeance. And it's sad and it's disappointing. And in my opinion, it's dereliction of their duties.
Speaking of headlines, TUSD to charge higher tuition at two centers. Will this be a nominal increase?
Nothing's nominal, Bill, in these very, very just very difficult financial times. We're talking about unprecedented inflation.
Yes.
I think we haven't seen inflation like this since the Carter administration or the early days of the Reagan administration 40 years ago. And a 10% increase is very tough for our families, and we recognize that. But the very same reason that this increase is tough for our families is the very same reason the district had to look at this rate increase. We are dealing with rising costs for food, for transportation, for fuel, and we're dealing with staffing shortages in terms of being able to staff the infant and early childhood centers. So I think that our parents are not happy with it, but they certainly aren't surprised by it. And they're going to work with us on it because they know that these types of rate increases are pretty much happening everywhere. And I think it's important to note that even with the 10% increase, we're still cheaper. we're still one of the cheaper child care options for infants that you're going to find anywhere in the city of Tucson or in Pima County.
All right. I have just a few seconds left. And again, because we probably will not be speaking with you before graduation time, do you want to quickly summarize some of those dates to keep in mind, please?
Well, I don't have the graduation dates in front of me, so I don't want to put anything out there on the air. So I will just say, look at all of our social media platforms and hit up the TUSD website for the very latest on summer school start dates and end dates, as well as our graduation dates for our high schools.
And you're hoping, your fingers are crossed, that this will be a normal start to the academic school year in the fall.
Absolutely. That is, we are all systems go with planning for a regular in-person learning opening of school next year in August. And let's knock on wood that this BA subvariant of the Omicron variation is nothing disruptive here in Pima County.
All right, Dr. Trujillo, thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill. Until next time, be well.
Thank you very much. Coming up next, another top education leader in our community, the president of the University of Arizona, Dr. Robbins, will be with us right after we take the mid-show break. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade, using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the University of Arizona and the president at UA, Dr. Robert Robbins. Dr. Robbins, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How are you today?
Doing well. Here we are closing out a semester very soon. Let's look back. What kind of a year has this been, hopefully, coming out of the pandemic?
I think it's been great. I keep saying this over and over. We haven't just survived 2 years of this awful pandemic. We're thriving. We have more students than we ever had, 50,000 students, the most prepared and accomplished class, the most diverse class, and at least from the preliminary data from applications and visits and interest in the university, Bill, is going to be even bigger and better next year.
As far as the health situation, are masks still required on campus? What is the protocol now?
Yeah, it's been about, I would say, almost a month now that we've gone from, maybe 3 weeks, gone from required to recommended. For indoor spaces. And certainly, Bill, I would say, for all people who are older, have any comorbidities, are immunocompromised or immunodeficient in any way, we would absolutely recommend that you wear a mask all the time in public until further notice.
As a health professional, and that's really before you came to UA, of course, you were a renowned heart surgeon. What do you think we've learned out of this horrible two-year pandemic, Dr. Robbins?
Well, I think what I've learned is that, we need to be constantly on alert and vigilant about whatever the next pandemic is going to be. And just for clarity, we're not through this one yet. We are very excited about finishing this semester strong at the U of A, and we've got our big commencement ceremony in Arizona Stadium on the night of Friday, the 13th of May. Mm. And my hope is that this wave, this tsunami of BA2 subvariant of Omicron that's spreading across the country from the East Coast won't make it to Arizona before we were able to have Arizona Stadium full and people enjoy graduation. But I think that what I've learned is we need to be prepared. We need to have processes and procedures in place. I think Dr. Carmona setting up our incident command system, which is something that he did when he was Surgeon General to deal with any kind of all hazards disaster that we have, either hurricanes or fires or pandemics. That has served us very, very well. And that the university has got, has mobilized all of its resources, particularly the public health resources and the basic immunologist, virologist, and basic scientists and medical doctors, nurses, and specialists to take care of situations like this, because there'll be another one in the future.
Dr. Robert Robbins, the president at the University of Arizona, with us on the Buckmaster Show. It seems like every time I pick up the paper, there's a headline saying that problems continue to mount for the University of Arizona affiliated online school that's known as UA Global Campus. What can you tell our listeners about where we are with UA Global Campus at this point?
Well, I would say remain patient, and I am as enthusiastic as ever, Bill, about the possibilities of UAGC. There are going to be some announcement coming in the next several weeks to months about some changes with UAGC and Zovio, the OPM company that provides some of the services to UAGC, and then with the ultimate goal, which was always the plan of incorporating UAGC which is a separate not-for-profit university that's affiliated with the U of A but not part of the U of A, finally bringing UAGC into the University of Arizona. And I think no matter how much controversy and headwinds we've faced during this what will end up being a two-year process with UAGC, I think at the end of the day that most people will be very satisfied and happy with how the university is serving this nearly 30,000 student body that attends UAGC.
How about the regular UA online? Is that a robust area for you?
Absolutely. It's growing under the leadership of Dr. Craig Wilson, who has been just phenomenal since arriving at the university. And we've seen the biggest increases of any of our platforms and offerings at the university in our online program. And so, I think that this is going to be a big part of the future. And Dr. Wilson and all of the deans and faculty members at the university have done a phenomenal job of continuing to grow our University of Arizona online program, where we're nearing about 5,000 students. Now, we're definitely much smaller than Arizona State University and President Crow, who's really been one of the leaders in this area and focused on that. They're probably, 60, 70,000 online students there. We've purposefully taken it slower over the years here and focused on quality, not volume. But I think now having the opportunity to continue to grow our internal program and then acquiring this more open access to serve students that are not the traditional college-age students, I think this is a good combination, and it fits perfectly with our land-grant mission.
Let's pause right here. Dr. Robbins, stay with us. We'll take our break right here and be back with you. Talk about research, talk about this hypersonics program, a big grant for wind tunnels that will position the university as a leading educational institution in that field. We'll have all of that as we continue with our conversation with Dr. Robbins right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bonvoyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Nice day at midday over in Silver City, 74 degrees, beautiful weather to go out and do some hiking, only a three-hour drive east of Tucson, hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and perhaps planning ahead for Memorial Day weekend. The Blues Festival is back, one of the best blues festivals in the United States. It's back for Memorial Day weekend. Check it all out at Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org for more information on what to do and where to stay. We continue now on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management with our interview with Dr. Robert Robbins, president at the University of Arizona. I'm looking at these research numbers, these research expenditures. That's a very, very optimistic note for the University of Arizona, Dr. Robbins.
Yeah, no question about it. And of course, we're on our way to having $1 billion a year in research expenditures. We're in the $770 million, which makes us one of the top 20 research universities in the country. And I couldn't be more proud of the effort that is being made here under the leadership of Dr. Betsy Cantwell at the University of Arizona.
This hypersonics area is such a hot field right now. And what's the UA connection to that?
Oh, Bill, we're one of the absolute leaders in the nation and the world in terms of universities with hypersonic fundamental research. We already had one wind tunnel, and just for your listeners, hypersonics is the study of projectiles that travel five times the speed of sound, and so. We already had a wind tunnel doing this work, and through the generosity of the state legislature and the governor through the New Economy Initiative, we were able to get funding along in partnership with Raytheon to build out this facility and add another wind tunnel to do these experiments. It provides important information for companies like Raytheon, for the federal government, for aerospace companies, to be able to study the fundamental principles of how these components to these projectiles, either missiles or components of spacecraft or airplanes, how they tolerate different conditions that you can control in these wind tunnels. And so that's really important for the local economy. It's important for jobs. It's important for educating the next generation of our students, whether they're undergraduate, graduate, or postdoctoral fellows. And it's really, really important, Bill, for national defense.
You know, you mentioned at the beginning of our interview that I think you said the enrollment was, what, about 50,000 students
50,
now?
Yes.
And we see these housing facilities going up around campus. Are more needed, or where are we in that area?
Well, I think we always need housing for the university. I've always thought that we needed more dorms on campus because I think the data shows that if you live on campus, you have a better chance of being successful in school. But these for-profit high-rises, which serve a lot of our students, are key to providing houses for our students. And you see these all over the country around college campuses, these major housing units. And so 50,000 students now, many of those students are doing online, But there are a lot right here in Tucson, and they need housing. And many of our students, you know, a third are first-generation Pell-eligible students who need affordable housing, that they're not going to find that in those high-rises. So there's a need for all ranges of housing to offer to our students.
There's really been a shakeout over these past 2 years in higher education. Many universities, smaller ones, smaller colleges, have really struggled, Dr. Robbins. What's your overview on higher education today?
Yeah, I think there's still an enormous value. I think if you look critically at the data, that individuals who complete a college degree, they tend to earn more. They tend to be in better health, and they tend to be, you know, happier individuals. It's not to say that college is for everybody. There are plenty of opportunities through our community colleges, even non-degree programs like certificates, that can train people to be ready to go out and have a job. So I think there's still tremendous value in getting a college education. It's not for everyone, and we've got to be thinking about a lot of different pathways to get people ready and trained to get into the workforce. The number, I think I saw it, there's like over 200,000 jobs available in Arizona. We just need to find people that are qualified and trained. And, you know, the good news is we've got all these companies coming in who are going to demand training and education for people to have these high-tech jobs. And so our universities are going to have to provide that.
I know, of course, you are a huge football fan, and the spring game wrapped up. And how does it look for you coming out? How is the University of Arizona positioning itself in football right now? Looking ahead to the schedule next year, there are no cream puffs.
No
easy games. I mean, one of the top smaller university football programs in the country, South Dakota State, is on the schedule, and then San Diego State is on the schedule as an away game, and they're debuting over there a new stadium when UA comes to town. It won't be easy.
No. So we've won one game in the last 24.
Yep.
Yet we have a top 20 recruiting class, and I think that is Coach Fish and his assistants working hard, going out, identifying great prospects and convincing them to be part of the renaissance. It's like a phoenix rising from the desert. The reincarnation of Dick Tomey and the great success that the University of Arizona had in football, you know, a couple of decades ago. So I think that the players are buying into the possibility that they can be part of turning this program around. And I think we've got the right guy and the right team at the right place. And I think you're going to see some success. But you're right, Bill. It's going to be a very difficult uphill battle. And usually when you get to the point of where we were, it takes 3 to 4 years for that coach to recruit, build a team, and keep them together. I think at the skill positions, we're going to be very exciting and very good this year. I just don't know as much about the line on both sides of the ball, but I'm confident that Coach Fish and his staff are gonna get us back to a positive outlook for Arizona football. But it's not going to be easy.
So much has changed with this transfer portal, which basically lets a student athlete transfer without kind of a waiting period, right?
Absolutely. It's you know, it's a daunting task of entering into rebuilding a major football program in coming off the pandemic with all of these new I would call them rules, but there's really not a lot of rules involved here, Bill. It's like the Wild Wild West. Players don't have to stay out anymore. If they don't like the, you know, the playing time they're getting, they just pick up and move to the next university. So it's almost like free agency, but without any controls on it. Moreover, I think one of the biggest threats to college athletics as we know it today is this name, image, and likeness, and the ability to move around in this transfer portal. I think these are the two major things that most coaches and athletic directors are talking about across the country. I can't substantiate this because obviously I don't have records of their bank accounts, but I'm told that Texas A&M just distributed $150,000 to each of 85 players on their team this
what?
Week, and that they have another, so that the story was that they raised $30 million to support their football team. They had the number one recruiting class in the country. And so if you're talking about giving $150,000 to every player on the team and then having $18 million to distribute to the, quote, star players, this is a game changer for college athletics that I'm not sure how the University of Arizona or most universities can compete in that type of environment. You can bet that Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee and the big teams in the SEC are going to have to compete, and they will. But that is I think it's going to be the end of college athletics as we know it, unless there is some sort of national rules that are set up to govern this stuff.
Wow, I was not aware of that. It just sounds like it's who can provide the biggest payday.
Right.
That's crazy.
And so these are done outside the universities. They're called collectives or collaboratives, and their boosters and donors and people who love the university go out and raise this money that they're able to give to the players. And they sign them up for name, image, and likeness deals that they can make a lot of money. I was shocked yesterday, Bill, to see, and I got with Tommy Lloyd when we were in New Orleans for his three national Coach of the Year awards. We got to sit in a green room before he went for his press conference to sit with Coach Calipari and his star player from University of Kentucky who won the Player of the Year. Now, most of those people would normally, most all the starters at Kentucky stay 1 year and done. They're gone.
Yeah.
This young man, who is a very bright, very nice young man, he made the announcement yesterday he's going back to Kentucky.
Mm. Wow.
Which is unheard of.
Yeah.
But you can imagine that there is a collective around the University of Kentucky that's going to be probably providing him with a name, image, and likeness contract that is worth it to him.
All right. We're going to have to leave it right there. Dr. Robbins,
okay.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. See
All
you,
right.
Bye.
That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, engineering, producing, Bill Buckmaster saying, off to another dental appointment. Be right back in 23 hours.